Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
I decided to make two different places. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn with me to Luke's Gospel. We'll end up there in just a few moments, chapter 17. Since the beginning of the year, I've been talking to you about our action theme for the year of healing, redemption, and thanksgiving. If you remember, this is kind of where we started with healing. God wants to restore physical health to us. How many believe that? God wants to restore spiritual health to us. You believe that? You know, when you serve the Lord for a little while, sometimes things get kind of dry. Can you admit that? And you need that drink of water once again. God wants to restore mental health. It's sad to me that so many deal with depressions and different mental struggles. I believe the Lord wants us to have wholeness in our bodies, mind, and spirit. That's His plan. How many want to work toward that this year? Well, you can't. It comes from Him. No, we can work for it, and that is letting Him have priority in our life. I've thought about this so much of recent and shared it with different ones, but Matthew 6:33 is such a powerful word. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And you know, if you really think about it, all these things, I believe wholeness comes by seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I have found that financially, physically, mentally. And I believe that God wants to move us in that direction, that we would be kingdom people. Amen? You know, folk, if not, when He comes, it's going to be such a shock to our system. We're not going to be able to handle it. We'll just fly to pieces. So we might as well begin to live a kingdom life here on earth, making that our goal and our pursuit, so that when He lifts us up and takes us to heaven, we're just going home. How many like to go home? Okay, you will in a few minutes. Just settle down. No. You know, when you're laboring hard and everything is going on kind of hectic, doesn't it kind of come to your mind? You think, oh, man. Yes. I'll go ahead and ask, how many of you have a chair? I mean, you know, like a chair. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you, it's bed. You think about going to your bed and reading or whatever. But it's that place you just think, I can't wait till I get there and get into my chair, get settled in. Well, I think the Lord wants to do that with heaven. You know, that's what Paul said. He said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Yes. Yeah, it's almost over. We're going to go and be in His presence. That's right. No more sickness, no more pain, no more dying. Right. Oh, hallelujah. No more mental struggles. Look at this. We talked about redemption. It is freedom. That's what redemption is freedom. Look it up. That's what Webster says. Freedom comes by a divine plan. God has a plan for your and my freedom, our redemption. Freedom comes through divine action. It's His action. We are redeemed by His action. By his stripes we are healed. Praise the Lord. I don't care if a doctor is involved with it. They're so limited in their knowledge and their ability. Once in a while, you run into it. How many have ever run into the doctor's wisdom? You know, they say, I don't know what else to do for you. Huh? Oh, isn't it good to know that we've got the one who made our bodies? Right. Redemption is the bridegroom preparing his bride. Oh, hallelujah. You know, sometimes when you read the word or hear a sermon or even a song or the Spirit of the Lord speaks into your life and you think, oh my, I need to make a change. I need to do X, Y, Z, whatever it is. And you think, oh, this is so hard. This is so heavy. Well, just understand, the bridegroom is preparing his bride. I don't want to get too specific here, but I know a few brides that I've known in my day, and I know that brides go on a diet. Come on now. And they will often go to the beauty parlor and or the place where the nails are done. What's that called? I don't know. Nail joint. The nail joint. Huh? And then they'll seek out somebody that can help them do their makeup so that it's all just right. Come on now, am I talking truth? Yeah. See, so should we be surprised if the bridegroom is getting ready to call for his bride that he would be preparing us and he'd be trying to make some changes in us? And, you know, Paul said he's coming back for a church without spot. That's right. Or wrinkle. Yeah. Ooh, that's Botox. Or any such thing. Spiritual Botox. I never thought about that. That's a good sermon title one of these days. Oh, glory. This morning, I want us to move to Thanksgiving. You can say, well, this one's an easy one. This one don't lay too much pressure on. But I want to show you this morning, with the help of the Holy Spirit, how Thanksgiving ties to these other two. Believe Thanksgiving is acknowledgement. Webster says it is a public acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness. Amen. I will leave that there for just a few minutes because it's important for us to acknowledge what Thanksgiving is. It's so easy when God does something in our lives to just move on. Maybe go, thank you, Lord, as I run on off to do more of my stuff. But acknowledgement, stopping, taking the time to think about what God has actually done. Just the whole aspect of redemption, that he redeemed our life from the pit. I know we don't like to talk about hell, but he has taken the fear of hell, the reality of hell, and taken it out of our lives. Yeah. Amen. By his redemptive power. Sin still troubles us, but it doesn't have any power over us anymore because he has taken the power of sin. Yeah. Even when we get sick, learning to trust him. Yeah, that's right. Oh, that song, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. What's the next line? Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, that's acknowledgement. That's acknowledgement that he is the one that does the work. It's not going to be how good you can be or how many good things that you can do that is going to make the difference. It is what he has done. Cut your finger. Slice it open. Heal it. I can slice it open. but I can't heal it. He can. He does. He created into our bodies the ability to turn a cut into wholeness. And so often, it's just a little cut, but we don't acknowledge. It's almost as though, look what I have done. In reality, it is, look what he has done. My Bible says, fearfully and wonderfully made. Praise the Lord. You'll notice in the Old Testament, the primary word that is used of thanksgiving is todah. It means to throw or cast. That's the literal use of the word in Hebrew. But it is taken in the scripture and interpreted to give thanks or praise. For instance, O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. That's the word todah that is used. But I like that. Yes. To throw, to cast. Put that in there. O Lord my God, I will give you, I'll toss to you my praise. Hallelujah, folks. We need to learn that. We need to start throwing some praise in the Lord's direction for all the stuff that he has done. You say, well, you know, he hasn't taken care of my most recent request. Well, see, we need to back up just a little bit and look at the ones that he's already answered. And we need to begin giving him praise and thanks. My Bible, I don't know about your Bible, my Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. We will enter his gates with and into his courts with praise. You want to get into his presence. If you want to put it in this way, you want to get on his good side. Begin to remember what he's done. Begin to give him praise for it. Well, it's also found in the New Testament. The New Testament is written primarily in Greek. The word is charis. You're familiar with that definition of that word. It's grace. Favorable regard. We will also call it unmerited favor. But it is also interpreted on the part of the receiver a feeling of gratitude. You realize this is where we give grace back to God. God extends grace to us, but we give favorable regard back to him by thanksgiving. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. How many accept grace from the Lord? Don't forget to give it back to others and to the Lord in favorable regard. Look at the scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. This is God's will. Lord, I want to know your will. He says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, my will is that you would give thanks. You know, I read a story. It was in the Cape Town Times. Actually, read it someplace else. Where a South African was in his home, and 9 thieves came to break in. 9. When he heard them, as they were robbing his house, he went after them, which was a brave thing to do. It doesn't say whether he had a gun or not, but he went after them. 8 of them took off running. 1 of them started to fight him. They were standing in the back of the yard, and he knocked the guy, and the guy fell into the swimming pool. The thief. He couldn't swim. So he's in the deep end, flailing around and everything, and the homeowner jumped in after him, saved him, brought him over to the side. As soon as they got out of the pool, the thief reached back, pulled out a knife, and was getting ready to stab the guy. So the guy knocked him back in the pool. How many times does the Lord save us? How many times have you been driving and get that near miss? All the blood empties out of your body. Huh? Or other circumstances where the Lord has saved us. What do we do with that? It should open up in our lives a season of acknowledgement, of thanks. And then, of course, what about all those times that he saves us and we didn't even know about it? Turn to Luke chapter 17. Fairly brief passage of scripture, and one I'm sure that many of you know. Let's see here. Here we go. Luke chapter 17, verse number 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The real miracle shown in this passage to me is what the Holy Spirit has brought out. Is the power of thankfulness to heal and transform us from outcast to access. I want to show you this morning two things as we move through this passage, two things that benefit us as we acknowledge, as we give thanks to the Lord. We need his help. Father in heaven, would you guide us today by the truth of your Holy Spirit? Free us, Lord, from what's happened in the past. Free us from what we're going to do in a few minutes. And let us be in this moment, in your presence, hearing your Spirit. I yield to you, Lord, that you would speak into our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to see, first of all, that a need confessed. You know, James says, "You have not because you ask not." Quite often we delay in our asking. But I guarantee you, if the need is serious enough, somewhere along the line you find yourself praying, "Oh God, please help me." Amen? Yeah. 10 men had leprosy. We don't have that. It still exists in the world, but it is out of our visual. Because even in India and the other places where leprosy is still happening, they avoid cameras. It's a hideous, hideous disease because it literally eats away parts of the body. So parts of the face are gone, arms, limbs, what have you, are gone. It's hideous. It's basically what we would relate to like a cancer on the outside of the body, as well as destroying on the inside. This was a mixed group of people, or men, Jews and Samaritans. When the need is great, social standing no longer matters. Color of skin, nothing matters. You go into the wards, it's a sad place, some of you have been there, where chemotherapy is being dispensed, and you'll have a rich person and a poor person sitting right next to one another being infused. So this is not that far from our understanding. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice. Now there's some reasons for that, because they were forced by law to shout when anyone came around, "Unclean, unclean." That was a warning that everyone was to stay away from them. They did not live in amongst their families. They lived outside the cities. Probably in this instance, they were somewhere between Samaria and Judea. They were in that neutral zone, so to speak, of the crossover. And staying out where no one existed, but Jesus on this journey comes by, and they had heard about Jesus. So they began to cry out. They stood at a distance and cried out in a loud voice. The cry was, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Maybe you've been there, where the need of your life was so great, in the middle of the night, you cry out to the Lord, "God, have mercy upon me." How many have been there? Yeah. It doesn't end here. Understand something. This is where, this point of identification is a point where unbelievers and believers both exist. Because people that don't have any knowledge of the Lord cry out to God when their situation gets bad enough. Everybody understand that? So it is not just the crying that makes the difference. Here's the second piece of it. Through faith professed in verse number 14. The word of the Lord comes to them, and he says, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Now, he's following Leviticus chapter 14. It was part of the law that if someone was unclean, if they had an unclean spot on them, if they had leprosy or whatever it was, and they felt like that it was getting better or it had been healed, they had to go to the priest and show the priest. The priest would set them aside for so many days and evaluate them again, and then if it was still clean, if it was still gone, then they could return back to their families. So Jesus was abiding, if you will, by the law. He never ran in opposition to the law. He fulfilled the law. So the word of the Lord was, "Go show yourself to the priests." Jesus was sending them, if you will, for proof of their healing. You know, I've had believers before that felt like that they were healed. I said, "Go to your doctor. Go to your doctor." "Oh, but I've been healed." "Go to your doctor." You see, real healing does not have to deny the doctors. What is grand is when you could go to the doctor after the Lord has healed you, and the doctor is standing there and saying, "I don't know how you're healed." And you say, "But I do. By his stripes, I am healed. I've been set free. My headaches are gone. Huh? My cancer is gone." Hallelujah. Then all of a sudden, see, you have not only acknowledged it before the Lord, but you have acknowledged it before men. And if I'm remembering, Jesus said something about that. He said, "If you will acknowledge me before men, I'll what? I'll acknowledge you before my heavenly Father." Yeah. So see, it is part of this thanksgiving process, this opening up, if you will, is to other people as well. "Oh, man, you wouldn't believe what God did for me this week. Hallelujah." You know, when's the last time that you were blessed in a service? And the next day you went and found somebody and said, "Oh my goodness, you wouldn't believe it. Yesterday we were in church and the Spirit of the God came down and settled in upon us and he blessed me. He refreshed me. I wasn't feeling so good when I came in, but when I left, I was feeling strong and taller. Huh? Have any of you ever been blessed like that? Praise God. But also, acknowledge God before men. You know what? The picture that I have in my mind, I don't know if you do this, but I have some pictures. The scriptures bring forth pictures to me. And I think when we say to our fellow man, God has done something spectacular in my life. Let me tell you about it. And we go ahead and tell them just like they want to hear. Mm-hmm. My picture is the son turns to the father and goes, that one's mine. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. He said, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father. I just picture Jesus turning to the Father and saying, this one's mine. Hallelujah. Or maybe even my bride. Come on. See, we need to learn this acknowledgement because it is part of giving glory and honor and praise to God. It says, as they went, they were cleansed. It doesn't say, as they were cleansed, they went. Are you following me? It says, as they went, they were cleansed. So in other words, the leprosy's still here, but he said, go show yourself to the priest. They would have had every action to have gone, ugh, priest won't even want me coming. I've got to yell unclean. But as they went, the leprosy's going away. Can you imagine? Your skin turns ashen white, just loses all of its pigment and color with leprosy. Can you imagine as they're walking along, they may not even seen it themselves, you know, on their face, and they're looking at one another and going, oh my goodness. Look at that. Your face is starting to get color. Look at my hand. Wow. Tell me they weren't excited. But you see, that faith possessed, that willingness to accept the word of the Lord and begin to walk. See, we want to jumble this up a little bit. We want to say, I'll go when I see it happen. They didn't. They went in obedience to Lord, heading toward the priest before the healing was manifest. They went on the word of the Lord, not on the manifestation. Just saying. A need confessed, through faith professed. Look at the next step. There we go. Equals a healing possessed. They were healed. And you know, you can read this, what is there, five verses there, four or five verses, something like that? No. There's eight verses. You can read this and you just jump right over the top of it. But you know what? I guarantee you in their lives, that was a day. Because see, that meant once they went and showed themselves to the priest, the priest would have sent them away, and they had come back after a few days. And when they came back and that leprosy was still gone, they got to go home. They got to return to their work. They got to return to their lives. Imagine that. It doesn't tell us the condition or how long these men had been lepers or anything, but let's say it's been a year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years. Imagine when, you know, it was a death sentence. They were sent off to someplace to die, away from their family. And these guys came back. Hi, I'm home. You're what? Quick, kids, run out the back. No. I met Jesus. Jesus spoke into my situation. And look at me. I'm whole. Hallelujah. I think everybody in here will take a healing. Yeah. right? That action of faith. Equals healing possessed. There's one other one in there. There it is. With thanks expressed. 9? Were healed? How many were healed? 10? 9 didn't come back and thank? Why do you suppose this is in here? Don't you think it's in here for us? For us to realize that returning to the Lord, it says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, so that says, I don't think he even made it to the priest. Because they were healed on the way. So somewhere in that journey, when he recognized that he had been healed, he came back. Praising God in a loud voice. And threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a foreigner. He was a Samaritan. Oh, for the day where we're not pulling out testimonies out of Christians. I don't say that with criticism. I say it with the heart. Oh, for the day that when it comes to testimony time and the saints are given an opportunity to testify, that they're not searching their minds for something that God may have done for them, but it's fresh on their minds. And actually, they don't even have to be asked, but rather they're coming in among God's people, shouting, look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He saved my soul. He lifted me out of the depression, the struggle, the difficulty. And I want to give him glory and praise. Excuse me while I fall at his feet to give him worship and praise. Huh? I can't help but think, church, that our services would look different if we were people of thanksgiving. Because we couldn't wait to get among God's people who understood and who would understand when we lift our voices in praise and honor to the Lord. Who would understand when we wanted to fall down on our faces and worship the Lord. Huh? Because of all that he has done for us. What happened to the rest? He doesn't tell us. Here's what is gained with thanksgiving. Access. Access. All 10 were healed. They were healed from a distance. They shouted to him, have mercy on us. He would have shouted back, go show yourselves to the priest. So they were afar off. But one man coming back with thanksgiving got access to Jesus. He was at his feet. Can you see it in your mind? Can you see it with your imagination? That man down there at Jesus' feet. Have you ever noticed how many times In the New Testament, it talks about somebody at Jesus' feet, a woman crawling in to touch the hem of his garment, another one washing his feet with her tears and wiping it with her hair, another one washing his feet. Huh? And here's a man who in thanksgiving comes and falls in humility at the feet of Jesus. Access. He got to touch Jesus. The rest of them didn't get to touch Jesus. He got to hear a word from the Lord specifically to him. The rest of them didn't get that. Huh? What did he say? We're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? Has no one returned except for this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Hallelujah. I remember a story in the book, beginning of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 3, of a man who's sitting at a gate beautiful, and he's hopeless, he's helpless. He's been there all of his life. He's been brought there to collect alms. And Peter and John come and find him there. Others had walked by him. Maybe Jesus himself had walked by. It wasn't his day. His day was on that day because of all that it did in launching the church. Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man just laid there. It was pitiful. It was a horrible sight, wasn't it? How many know the story? Isn't that what it says? He just laid there. Didn't accept the healing. He just couldn't stand it. No? What did he do? He jumped up and what? Come on. Where did he go? Through the temple. Come on. It doesn't hurt to actually help on these sermons, you know? Participate. He went walking, which he couldn't do, and leaping, which was never even in his dreams, and praising the Lord. You see, I believe that that man and his healing was just as much responsible for 3,000 people getting saved on the day of Pentecost as Peter's sermon. Maybe more so. Because, you see, he was willing. He didn't go, oh, man, I'm so glad to be healed. Whew, boy, that was great. Ooh, wow, never experienced this before. This is pretty cool. Well, okay. I'm just not very demonstrative, you know. No. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Everyone got to see him acknowledge, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's the reason why when Peter said, this same Jesus, because this fellow, in his acknowledging, in his thanksgiving, in his praise, had already laid the groundwork for Peter to be able to explain about Jesus, that he had been delivered over by them. And that made them cry out, what must we do to be saved? Church, thanksgiving, acknowledgement of what God has done in our lives makes the difference in other people's lives. And it makes a difference in our life because it brings us to access. It gives us access to the Lord, which we would not have without the acknowledgement and thanksgiving. Come into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. The Lord is good. He said, well, next time I have something good happen in my life, I'm just going to really thank the Lord. Got a job? Going to go home and have some food? I know, you know, anymore, I notice this among young people and things, you know, it's an old people's thing to pray over your food. Say, well, you just say the same thing every time. Well, yeah, we could probably use more discipline there. But why not be thankful to the Lord for that meal that's setting before us? In most of our homes, there will be more on our table today than we can possibly eat. We will eat on it for a few days after it's been refrigerated in our neat refrigerator that we're blessed with, until we get sick and tired of it and then throw it out, send it down to the garbage dump. so much, so many blessings. And we're reluctant to say thank you, to acknowledge. Let's see if I can get this. Thanksgiving is the anchor that holds the miracle, the wholeness, the redemption in place in our lives. This is what I'm coming to understand. I see people get set free, see them go through rehab, get free from drugs and alcohol and things that are binding up in their lives. And then before long, they turn back to it. You think, oh my goodness, how could you do that? Well, you know, it was the friends and blah, blah, blah. And we know that you go back to old company, that they will draw you in. But I really believe that in a spiritual sense, we're turning away from the wholeness of the Lord when he has redeemed us and set us free. And we're going back, as the scripture says, like a dog to its vomit. Ugh. Why? Because we're not thankful. You think about it for just a minute. If when God does something in your life, if you would take up the testimony and truly begin to thank him and acknowledge him before men, what a difference it would make in hanging on to that deliverance. For one thing, you would realize it was not me that did this. It was the Lord. I need the Lord. Why is Teen Challenge so effective? Teen Challenge is incredibly effective because they are turning the eyes of these men and women to Christ. He is their answer. It's not them, it's him. So constantly acknowledging my deliverance and my freedom here forward is because of the Lord. What about doing that same thing as the Lord heals us? Not just saying, thank you, Lord, for my healing, but continually thanking the Lord for that healing. You can think about it. A need confessed, through faith professed, with thanks expressed, equals wholeness possessed. That's what this lesson here in Luke's gospel gives us. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that you are desiring to bring wholeness into our lives. This year, you want to do something very special in this church family. I believe it with all my heart. You're wanting us, O Lord, to be witness to healings in body, mind, and spirit. You're wanting us, Lord, to witness deliverance through your redemptive power, freedom in lives, habits broken. Freedom coming into people's lives. Help us, O Lord, to realize the power of thanksgiving. That it grants to us access to you that we can have no other way. And it prolongs the blessings of our redemption, of our deliverance, of our healing, as we continually give thanks to you. May our testimony of your redemption of our life never grow old to us. But may it be fresh in our mouths every day of our lives. I'm so thankful that you saved me, Lord. I'm so thankful that you delivered me, Lord. I'm so thankful that you have healed me, Lord. And may we carry that thanksgiving out into a hurting world that doesn't know you. And simply tell them, look what the Lord has done for me. God, help us to be like the one who returned back and fell at your feet. Not like the other nine who went on their way having received a tremendous blessing from you and missing out on the access that they could have had. I pray, Lord, if there's one person in this room or anyone watching online who doesn't know you as their Savior, they've never let you take their sin, that even this day, they would bow before you and confess that sin, knowing that you are faithful and just to forgive them of their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. I pray, Master, that if they're in this house, that they would, before they go out the back door, that they would come here to this altar and let us pray with them and believe with them for the salvation of their soul and for the freedom of their lives. And by the way, Lord, thank you once again for letting us be together. I look out here, Master, and I see faces of those who have come through COVID and other illnesses, and I thank you so much this morning that you have restored them back to fellowship. I will not take it for granted, but I give you thanks and praise this morning that we get to be together. Bless us as we leave this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. These altars are open. If you would like to spend some time with the Lord, come. You're welcome. May God bless you.